Miss Farnborough, Reel 6.
Happen in a world at war.
Of course, you liked your German friends. What did you think of Germans in general?
I had a great admiration for them. It was a strange thing, because in those days there was the old saying that German women were only able to follow three things, and that was Kinder, Kleide, and Kirche. Children, dresses, churches. Well, I knew them very well, and I knew too that they had far greater, far more widespread ambitions and hopes, and were very, very clever. They certainly were renowned as housewives, and their kitchen, the culinary art, was practiced to the very highest degree in Germany. But I did know also that, being Germans, they too must obey.
Do you think the Germans had more compulsion to obey than others?
Yes, I think they were, perhaps they had been told from the earliest years, more perhaps than we in England, a freer land. Freer for individuals, freer for families. But there they were brought up very strictly, and there they learned very quickly that it was necessary to obey, especially military commands.
In Britain, during the First World War, there were a great many stories of German atrocities, some true, some not at all true, which were used for war propaganda. Did you have those in Russia as well?
Atrocities. The very word war is a synonym of atrocity. I don't think you can expect anything else but atrocities in time of war. Of course we had them in Russia, and of course there were in every country where warfare was being waged. But I do know that you cannot escape them in warfare. How can you go and shoot a man through his heart face to face and then not call it an atrocity? But don't forget, there are two sides of warfare. There is that hideous side where man kills man. Man inflicts suffering willingly, gladly on a fellow human, because it is war. The other side of the picture, believe me, I too have seen. And that is so many extraordinarily wonderful acts of great heroism and great self-sacrifice. And I'm convinced that the two really go hand in hand together. I would say if they were weighed in the scales, perhaps heroism and self-sacrifice would far outweigh the other, the more accepted type of warfare. It would be ridiculous now for me to try to begin. If ever I lived to be many years older, I would still perhaps try to write another book about memorable people I had met who had crossed my path. People impossible to forget, unforgotten and unforgettable people who in some wonderful way had shown great heroism in their lives, quite sometimes unwittingly, sometimes on purpose, despite the odds. And I think those two would far outweigh what you have called the atrocities of warfare.
Well, I hope you will mention them as comes appropriate in the story. But in the early days of the war, was there any anti-war movement in Russia, either religious or political?
No, I don't think so. The people rose as one man. They knew they had a very powerful neighbor. I don't think they ranked the Austrians on their southern front so ruthlessly and so dreadfully cruelly as they did the German invader. I think they were rather afraid of that, even our soldiers, when they knew that on the Austrian front the Germans had brought up heavy guns and tremendous manpower. Those, they told me, they feared. They didn't fear the Austrians. Many of them told me, the Austrians fight like gentlemen. You have only to look at their cemeteries and the way they bury our comrades, our Russian brothers, to see that they look on life and death from quite a different standpoint.
As far as you knew, there was no one or no group that were opposed to the war then in Russia.
If there were, there could be, because there always are pacifists. But personally, I did not meet anyone. I met only those who were heart and soul for their Tsar and their country. And I met those who were always ready to do anything and everything to alleviate the sufferings and sorrows of the wounded.
I believe there were male nurses working with you, at least at some point.
Oh, very many male nurses.
Why were they not soldiers? Were they conscientious objectors?
No, they were. Something might have gone wrong with them. Sometime in their life they might have had an illness, but for the most part they were very, very good orderlies. And you must remember there were many big hospitals, very many big ones, and field hospitals in Russia, and they were manned by excellent men, nurses, orderlies, as they were called. And sanitar, they called it in Russian. A curious name, sanitar. And these sanitars were numerous, and they could do anything and everything. In fact, some of them used to help us to take over operations, and always they were ready to clean and dress open wounds because they had been taught it in their hospitals, in their training. They were a very wonderful lot, the sanitars or the hospital orderlies. I don't think the war could have been carried on without them, because it was essential to have these men. And many of them would go with the ambulance cars to the front line, and they would carry and pick up their wounded comrades and carry them to their ambulances and bring them to us, return again and back, shuttling backwards and forwards among those in the first line and our first line aid post. So they were men who were very essential. They too suffered. Many of our men fell like that. There was one who had been for 2 years with us, a hundred times in the trenches under a barrage of guns and shrapnel and bullets. And then one day he was in a village near us, and a stray bullet caught him and killed him. It seems so strange to us that his life had been spared when he was surrounded by shells and gunfire. And yet, on that quiet sunny day in the village, he fell a victim to a stray bullet.
Did you ever hear any people who were perhaps not sensitive to the real situation criticizing those men for not being soldiers?
Never, because I don't think any soldier who could be a soldier was not a soldier. I'm perfectly certain there were not those men who escaped. Then, too, you must remember, there was a tremendous number of young soldiers, recruits, in the villages. And there, though I'm sure their mothers and their sisters, their wives, if they were old enough to marry, they would try to keep them back or hide them. But no, every one of them came. And that, too, was a very sad story, because these young village recruits, so completely uneducated and quite unaccustomed to even holding a gun, were brought up to the front line and were drilled and marched and paraded until they really could manage to call themselves soldiers. But do you know that even in drilling them, one had to be careful. The sergeant major could never say right or left. They wouldn't understand. So they tied hay on one arm and straw on the other. And to these young, ignorant boys, they would call out, "Straw!" And they would turn to the right. "Hay!" And they would turn to the left. So that will show you how difficult it was for one of these young recruits to understand what warfare implied, what warfare meant for him and for his home, and against whom he was fighting. They had a curious philosophical view about the fight. They were fighting against them, and they over there were fighting against us. But who they were, they couldn't tell. They knew who we were, because we were Russians. And sometimes they said, if we are fighting them there, who are your countries fighting? Because if they are there, they can't be near your country. Their ideas of geography, their ideas of the various nations of the world were totally nil.
How young were they?
They were taken when they were 18 and drilled for about a year. From 19 on 20, they would be soldiers. I have pictures of them, some of them. And you know, some of those that I dressed and some of those who came to us dying and the dead, they were mere boys. To look at them, one's heart would break, because you would think, these children, they've never lived. How could it be that they've been sent to the trenches, into the thick of things? But there they were, and they had paid with their lives.
Did they ever join at a younger age?
Oh, yes, there were several quite small children, small boys, I will say. I've got a picture of one or two that I can show you that I took. But sometimes they went with the father, and the parents and the other members of the family might have been dead, I don't know. And sometimes they went as a kind of mascot. And the soldiers behaved wonderfully well with them, treating them perfectly, seeing that they had good food and rest and everything. They were very happy. Once or twice we had a young boy who was far too young to become a real military recruit. And he had been shot. One or two of them were killed. It was very sad to see them, because always one thought, what will the mother be thinking? What will the mother be saying? What will the mother be praying? And there were these children.
In the early days of the war, before you really became involved, did you have what you now know to be odd expectations of war?